Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Ben Simpson to the podcast. Dr. Simpson serves as an associate professor of New Testament at Dallas Theological Seminary at the Washington, D.C. campus. He also recently published the book, Ephesians, an Exegetical Guide for Preaching and Teaching. Dr. Simpson, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, listen, just delighted to have you on the podcast today. And our podcast, this podcast, is, as the title suggests, devoted to preaching and preachers. And we have, within this podcast, different series we do. And one of those series is we have different guests over the past several years talk about preaching different books of the Bible. And therefore, you are obviously our guest on preaching the book of Ephesians and building the conversation today around your recent book, Ephesians, an Exegetical Guide for Preaching and Teaching. So we'll get to that momentarily. But before we do, give our listeners a word of update on yourself and your ministry, your family, and what is new there at the DTS Center in D.C.
Oh, well, yeah, certainly. Most like everyone probably today, we're on kind of a coronavirus lockdown here in the Mid-Atlantic area. We've been doing virtual school for the past, I guess it's been about a year now coming up. And so it's been really kind of an interesting year for me, converting all of my classes to an online format and trying to wrangle kids into their online school. And so we've been kind of struggling with that. Right in the midst of all of this, our campus, we have transitioned our campus from one church to another church. And so we've got some growing pains on campus as well as trying to kind of get through this coronavirus season. But it's been a blessing this whole year. And so every time we kind of think this might be it, God shows up and carries us through it. And so it's been really a neat time to see a testimony of His grace.
And what are the ages of your children?
I've got two kiddos. I've got Eli is 12 and Madison is 14, and I'm married to Amber. And Amber actually works for InTrust Ministries out of Colorado Springs, and she does facilitator training in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Well, praise God for that. And listen, how long have you been at Dallas?
Oh, goodness. I've been a student and a staff member and now a faculty member probably for about 20 years. I've been with our DC campus for about 4 years. And so I like to tell my students, I moved to Washington, DC when Trump moved to Washington, DC, but hopefully I'll stay longer. Prior to that, I was at our Houston campus, and I was there for about 5 years. And then prior to that, I was at our Dallas campus. I served as the registrar at our Dallas campus for about 10 years.
Well, thank you for your service there. And obviously, Midwestern Seminary is a Southern Baptist institution, but DTS is certainly a sister institution, one we root for and one in which we have much in common.
Well, listen, vice versa.
Yeah, well, listen, we're talking today about preaching and teaching the book of Ephesians. And you have a book that came out not that long ago entitled Ephesians, an Exegetical Guide for Preaching and Teaching. And I guess just at the conceptual level, I'm curious what drew you to the book, Ephesians, what drew you to write a book on the book of Ephesians?
Yeah, well, Ephesians is it's the book that we use in our exegetical sequence here at the Dallas Seminary. And we work through Philippians, we work through Ephesians, and then our capstone class is Romans. And so I've taught Ephesians for years with my students. And as part of that, I wrote a short little workbook identifying the structural markers in the book and helping students to think how those structural markers fit together. And a friend of mine, Herb Bateman, who's the series editor, asked me to take that workbook and develop it a little bit more into this big Greek idea series that Herb is editing. And the idea behind the series is to help pastors who've gone through Greek, maybe a little rusty in their Greek, to kind of help them identify some of the major structural markers as they're preparing for their sermon, and kind of help them along in that exegetical step before they write their sermon. And so it really kind of is there wasn't one moment where I thought, hey, I'm going to write a commentary on Ephesians. It's more of kind of a culmination of years of teaching and then writing on it as well. And I'm just glad to see that it's getting a wider audience.
Yeah, and I would love to hear when you went from the classroom to the book project. I guess, was that an easy transition, or did you find yourself having to cull and prune to make it work? Or were you on the opposite end of having to kind of dig deeper and more expansive in your research for what ultimately became the book?
Yeah, I mean, it was fairly straightforward because of a lot of what we're teaching in our exegetical process really came through in the book. And it forced me to kind of have to practice a little bit what I preach to my students, to come to some conclusions on some exegetical problems that I've always kind of had with the book. Before you go into print, you can hedge your bets one way or the other, and then after you write, you kind of have to really kind of land on a conclusion. So it forced me to do that, and kind of be a little bit more consistent through my exegesis of the book. But it really was just an exercise of what we teach, the exegetical process that we teach here, to kind of force me to think through those issues comprehensively through the book of Ephesians. So in that way, it was a really good exercise for me.
So let's talk about the book itself. And again, my listeners primarily are local church pastors, staff members, seminary students, those who find themselves recurrently going to the Word of God and preaching it and teaching it. Give us just the big big broad contours of the book. Why, in your estimation, has God given us this letter to the believers in Ephesus?
Yeah, I think probably the key theme that we see in the book of Ephesians is the supremacy of Christ. And you get that early on in Ephesians 1, and it really kind of runs through the entire book. And what's kind of behind this idea of the supremacy of Christ, I think, is this conflict that Christ and subsequently believers has, is this conflict with spiritual beings in the world. And we see this in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2. Ultimately, we see it in Ephesians 6, where, you know, Paul says, our struggle is not with flesh and blood, it's with powers and authorities and cosmic beings. And I think ultimately the whole theme of the book is this conflict that believers face, but that as believers, we've won. And so even though I like to tell my students, even though we're behind enemy lines, and it might seem like we're under fire, might seem like we're under pressure, might seem like we're losing, Christ has already won the battle. And so really what we're facing is a mop-up operation. And I think when we think about Paul's specific situation, when he wrote the book, he was in prison. And and that's one of the things that he's trying, one of the ideas he's trying to convey to his readers is, hey, it may look like I'm down and out, but I'm right where God wants me. And I'm preaching the gospel. And I think that's behind his reference to himself as an ambassador in chains. And so I think that's one of the rich things you see through the book, that even though it might look like we're down and out, God's in control. Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we have power through that relationship to handle the struggles that we face.
So in your commentary, and for our listeners who are seeking to, you know, preach and teach, and even before that, to understand the book of Ephesians, help us to get our mind around the key themes of the book. What should we be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think the first theme, and I think we could break the book down into two parts. The first part is who the believer is. And Paul, through Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, really talks about the believer's identity. And probably the classic text is Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, that we're saved. That fits well with the theme of adoption that we see in Ephesians 1. And ultimately, this grace in Ephesians 3 that God has given to us to live as believers. And the second half of the book, Ephesians 3, 4, and 5, or 4, 5, and 6, has to do with the so what. And so if it's positional theology in the first half, I call it practical theology in the second half. And throughout the second half of the book, Paul uses this word walk. In Greek, it's peripateo. A lot of our English translations translate the verb as to live. And so it's how to live. And he uses it about seven times, to walk in unity, to walk in light, to walk in love. And so the second half of the book really has to do with, as believers, we have this position with God through Christ. And then the second half really has to do with, so what? And what does that look like for believers?
So when you think about, you know, Pauline literature and his epistles, you know, we often see them presented as, you know, doctrine then application, doctrine then application, doctrine then application. And Ephesians is often pointed to as the book where you have kind of these three first chapters that are relatively tidy, you know, doctrine, then the next three, the last three, where it's pretty tidy, application. And I think you refer to it as positional and practical. I guess, is that an oversimplification, or do you basically embrace that theory that Paul, in the inspiration of the Spirit, is just writing logically from the doctrinal importance and then what it means for the Christian?
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to Ephesians, it seems like there's a fairly nice break in Ephesians 4, and that doesn't feel like it's an arbitrary line. I mean, he seems to shift gears. Interestingly, we don't get any imperatives in the first three chapters, except in we get one in Ephesians 2:11, we get the first imperative, but then we don't get any more imperatives until chapter 4. And so it seems like there's shift there in his discussion. It does get a little, the lines aren't really as clear towards the end of chapter 5, where we get the household code section, where he's dealing with different aspects of the house, different relationships within the house, how husbands and wives should treat one another, how parents should treat their children and vice versa, and how slaves and masters. And then we get he ends the book with this kind of long a discussion about the equipping ourselves with the armor of Christ. And so, but I think all of that kind of, you know, ties into this practical aspect that we see in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. But that's another interesting theme that we get in Ephesians. It's not like what we see in 1 Corinthians, where it seems like Paul is writing a specific letter to a specific church group dealing with specific issues. I think Ephesians was probably a circular letter, and it was probably written to a larger region, and it was probably read in several churches. And so we have broader themes. And so instead of a specific issue that Paul was trying to deal with, it's probably dealing with broader issues. And one of the reasons I think that is we don't have the specific greetings that we get like at the end of Romans. The imperatives that we see in the book seem to be a little bit broader.
And arguing that the letter may have been used as a circular letter or intended as a circular letter, should that frame our understanding of it in any way, or should it nudge us to preach it or teach it in a certain way as opposed to another?
I would approach it the way I would other Pauline literature. In some ways, I think it makes it a little bit easier to apply to the church today, since Paul's not writing to a specific issue a lot, and his exhortations are broader. I think it's easier for us to take that broader exhortation and apply it to our church today, almost as if he's writing it to us.
So you mentioned when you were teaching the book a couple of passages that were particularly angular for you, but having to really land on an understanding or interpretation of those for the commentary. I'm curious, again, those who are listening to this podcast are going to be wrestling with these six chapters. Perhaps their consternation or their befuddlement will resemble yours. And so can you say a word or two about the problematic passages, and without getting too much in the weeds, but a word or two about the problematic passages as you saw them, and then kind of where you landed on those?
Yeah, like I kind of mentioned earlier, this idea of a circular letter, I think, you don't often see a whole lot of textual issues in sermons, but I think one particular textual issue that you see is at the very beginning of the letter, where the declaration of the letter, NFSO, seems to be omitted from some manuscripts. And so when Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, the will of Christ, believers who are in Ephesus. So coming to a conclusion on that textual problem there really kind of forced me to kind of think through the exegesis of the passage. And ultimately, I think probably the NFSO is secondary, which led me to think that, it is a circular letter. And then in terms of how do you talk about the book of Ephesians if it's circular, throughout the commentary, I still refer to the Ephesian readers, even though the readership was probably wider than just the church at Ephesus. Another issue that kind of comes up is how do you divide the book? And so another interesting issue you get is in Ephesians 5. 21 and 22. And in 5:22, we have this interesting, it's a break here where Paul says, women or wives, submit to your own husbands. But when we look at the verse here, there's no verb. We have to supply a verb. And the verb that we would normally supply would be in the context, and we have to go back to verse 21, where we have a participle, submit. And so in verse 21, we have this passage, submit each other to one another in fear of Christ. And then in verse 22, literally, we have wives to your own husbands as to the Lord. So we have to submit or insert the verb. Probably submit there, and that's where most English translations get the wives submit to your own husbands. And so it just kind of forced me to kind of think through where does the line break. So in the commentary, I actually think that verse 22, which begins what I would call the household codes, where Paul talks about the relationship between wives and husbands, I think that's probably a subsection of this verse that we have in verse 21, submit to one another. So in verse 21, when Paul says submit to one another, he's describing what it means to submit to one another, wives to husbands, husbands to love their wives, children to their parents, and fathers to their children, and then slaves to masters, masters to slaves. So those are two of the issues that kind of made me think a little bit harder.
So when you come to preaching the book of Ephesians, and time is flying by here, but when you preach it, what are you seeing as some common mistakes that individuals may make, and what, again, pastors, interpreters should be on the lookout for so they can avoid?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think probably one of the more common mistakes that I see when I hear sermons on Ephesians, in particular, the pastors tend to cut the passage a little bit more granularly than I would suggest. And one of the key issues that we see in the book of Ephesians, which is really difficult, is that we have these long run-on sentences. And for a lot of English readers, we don't like run-on sentences to begin with. But for Greek, they're particularly long. And in my commentary, I actually make a note, 40% of Ephesians is made up of seven sentences. And so in the Greek text, actually verses 3 through 14, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 is one long sentence. It's made up of over 200 words. And so we have a number of these long sentences. And so my feeling is that when we break up the book too much, we're almost preaching half of Paul's sentence on one Sunday and the second half of the sentence the next Sunday. And so that's one of the issues that I see. Another issue that I see is that we do have a message of the book. And a lot of times when we preach, and particularly when we get so granular with the text, we tend to miss how that particular text fits in with the larger story of Ephesians. And so just appreciating the larger story of this theme of the conflict that as believers we have in the world, and that we have the tools to win that are given to us by God through Christ. And so understanding how each particular passage fits in with that larger theme is, I think, really important when you preach the book.
So let me try to pull together the conversation by teeing you up for a final question. And that is just this. Upon reflection on the book and your own exegetical work through it and the manuscript, the book you wrote on it, what final word or words of advice would you give for those who would teach or preach through Ephesians?
Yeah, I would just, you know, as you said, preach Christ. See how Christ fits in each aspect of the book. And I think his position is pronounced throughout the book. And I would just keep on bringing that up in the conversation, bringing that up in the sermon, and showing how he fits within what Paul is saying in the book.
Well, Dr. Simpson, we'll have to leave it there, but I really appreciate your time today, and I'm grateful for your new commentary, Ephesians, an exegetical outline for preaching and teaching, and I encourage our listeners to pick it up and to use it as a resource, and I encourage them more broadly to actually preach and teach the book of Ephesians. What a rich, wonderful book for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me today on Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.